Hello and welcome to The Squeal, PIC's swine management podcast featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. This series in PIC's swine management podcast wraps up today with a good conversation on dealing with difficulties in the motivational area. Joining with us are professional speaker Matt Booth.
I am a professional attitude speaker and coach, and a big portion of my clients are in the ag industry.
Birchwood production manager Jamie Hundley.
I'm production general manager at Birchwood Genetics, been with the company for 28 years. I oversee three boar studs for PIC, one in West Manchester, Ohio, one in Adrian, Michigan, and one in Scottsville, Kentucky. Combined, we have about 2,100 boars.
And PIC's supply chain manager, Jason Pooley.
I'm the regional supply chain manager for PIC in the East and Canada. So I interact with a lot of our multiplier partners and farms all over the Eastern Seaboard in Canada.
So I've got an employee with a bad attitude, and I think they're capable, and they've shown flashes of brilliance. But what do I do with them before they infect everybody else?
That is a great question, and that is something we often deal with. Because in many cases, somebody with a bad attitude, they may have the aptitude, the ambition that you want in an employee. And I've had some that maybe as far as their personal output is as high or higher than anyone else on the team. So in their minds, they're a superstar, but they don't realize often how they're affecting the rest of the team. And how difficult it's making. So to be a star employee, that attitude at work is extremely important. We're all going to have our good and bad days, but we've tried to deal with it a couple ways. You know, one way is just sit down and talk to them and make sure they understand how their attitude might be affecting others. But then the other thing is find out what might be causing them to have a poor attitude at work. You know, it could be something that's going on at home. It may be something outside of work. It could be something that just going at work, that maybe we have them in the wrong position. Maybe what we have them doing is not ideal for their personality. Is there something else we could have them be doing where we're utilizing their skills that maybe they can do more as an individual and maybe less in a team environment? Because some people will perform at a high level, you know, working by themselves, that may struggle working in that team environment with others.
I had an employee one time that was a farm manager over at Sow Farm, and she was an awesome Sow Farm manager. She could make production happen. She really struggled with managing people, and it was tough to try to direct that sometimes. And so to your point of making sure somebody's in the right role, you know, and making sure that the things that they're good at are bringing value, sometimes are difficult, and it may lead to some pretty difficult conversations, but I think we at the end of the day, we owe that to them to have those conversations. Some people possess the skills to be high output and driven, but a lot of times they lack some soft skills that might make them a good manager or a good leader of people. And some of that can be coached and taught, and sometimes it's tough to get it to happen. So, you know, it's a journey that you just have to keep working on, and sometimes it works out great and sometimes it doesn't. And you have to accept that too and continue to work forward.
That's the number one question I get based on what I do. So as an attitude expert and speaker, the number one question I get is, how can I change someone else's attitude? And you can insert someone else. How can I change my coworker's attitude? How can I change my boss's attitude? How can I change my husband's attitude? How can I change my wife's attitude? But that's the number one question I get. The first question I ask them back, the first thing I say back to them, if they want to change someone's attitude, I ask them, have you ever seriously sat down with them and told them that their attitude is affecting their work, affecting their relationship. Have you ever seriously sat down and really told them that? Now, both Jason and Jamie, sounds like you have a process to go through that. But about 9 out of 10 times when somebody asks me that, and I ask them that question back, they can't, their answer is no. Or if they say yes, they can't look me in the eye as they're saying yes. So that tells me that most people don't have that crucial conversation with them and say, hey, look, Debbie Downer, Johnny Raincloud, whatever you want to call them, a bad apple, that your attitude that you have is affecting not only your work, but it's hurting everyone else around you. This can't continue this way. So once you do that, which most people don't do, because we like to go through life passive aggressively talking about someone with a bad attitude. Many times a person with a bad attitude doesn't even realize it's them. And often they're extremely good at what they do. They're extremely good at what they do because if they weren't good at what they do, they'd have been fired a long time ago. You know, if they didn't show up on time, you'd have fired them. If they weren't good at their job, you would have fired them. Jason, that person you talked about is a perfect example. They're highly productive. They're really, and you said it, they're really, really good at what they do, but they have a bad attitude. And here's where the statistics and it gets in, because it's hard to get good people and it's hard to get to keep good people. And Leadership IQ did a study that I love. They've studied thousands and thousands of employees. And there's a couple questions they recently put in there that I really like. It said that 87% of people who work with someone who has a negative attitude, 87%, this is almost 9 out of 10, they've seriously considered changing jobs. They've seriously considered changing jobs. So if you've got one person who's on a team of 10 and they have a bad attitude, almost the other 9 people have seriously considered changing jobs. They may like what they do. It's good pay, good benefits. But because of that person with the bad attitude, they've seriously considered switching. And that same study, it said that 93% of those studied, when they work with someone who has a bad attitude, their productivity goes way down. And that makes sense. It's common sense if you think about it. And if that person with the bad attitude, if it's not addressed, if you're, as a leader, if you're not addressing the bad attitude, everyone else is looking at you and they're saying that's failed leadership. They think you're not doing your job correctly. And it's going to affect and it's going to go through your company, your organization, exactly like a virus.
Talk to me about teams now, working in the team environment, and we've been talking primarily about individuals and finding ways to motivate them and maintaining proper attitudes. But how do you do that with a group of people when you've got a team working together? What, any ideas, any suggestions, or your experience?
I think it's important when you're working with a team that everybody understands the goal and the why. It's easy to sit behind your desk and tell everybody what the plan is for the day and go out and execute it. But people like to understand why it is what they're doing. And so, you know, if you can find good people, you can train them properly. You can pay them what they're worth and give them value in their job, set clear goals and expectations. You know, and encourage a good work environment and celebrate wins when you have them. Those are all things that I think facilitate a good team working environment. You know, don't get hung up on, you know, people make mistakes and things go wrong, and we need to, you know, unless they're chronic, we need to just teach them, take them as teaching opportunities, and we need to move on to the next thing. And we need to focus on the things that we're doing right and be very clear about the objectives and goals that we're working on. And take a little time to celebrate them when we get them right. People enjoy that. That goes back to that. Some people need a trophy or a ribbon, and some people just need a pat on the back or a thank you. that's it. It's really sometimes very simple like that.
I have a trick question for you. Do we pay enough attention to attitude and motivation versus capability when we assemble our teams?
That is something that we have tried to get all of our managers to focus on more this year, because I would say that historically we have not. I can think of multiple occasions throughout my career where we had teams of really good individuals that were all very capable of doing the tasks, where the team just was not happy because of one individual that had that poor attitude.
Don't name names.
No, absolutely would not. But I've had multiple teams where that has happened. And once we've gotten around to addressing that issue, whether it be moving that person to maybe a different job that suited them better, or maybe just gotten to the point where after addressing it, it doesn't get better, we decide we need to move on. It's amazing how sometimes getting that one poor attitude out or away from that team affects the rest of the team and how much better they can perform. So I do think it's very important that we stay focused on that. And I think it's pretty easy for us at times because it's harder to measure that compared to, actual output or performance, especially in the Borstad industry. You know, we're looking at a lot of metrics. We're looking at, doses per bore per year, doses per collection, collections per hour. We're looking at all kinds of things. And if people are able to perform those, it's easy for us to maybe ignore or not put enough emphasis on their attitude and how that is affecting the whole team. And so we do need to, it's extremely critical that we take the time to focus on that, just to be fair to the entire team.
Well, and we spend a lot of time with these people. I mean, it's not unusual to be out working on the farm 8, 9, 10 hours a day. You know, it's likely that you might spend more time with your coworkers than you do with your family in the evenings. So that having that team harmony in an environment that everybody feels good about is important.
This is my performance. Your trick question is my performance evaluation process. Most companies and organizations have some sort of a yearly, semi-annually evaluation. Now, we don't always get them done. I understand that. They're not always done on time or exactly how they should be. I met with the president and the owner of a company 6 months ago, and it was a suggestion, a mutual friend suggested that we meet because his company was going through some changes. And I went out and met with him, and he was all about attitude. He said, hey, you know, I love everything about it. We're a company. We talk about attitude all the time. This is our biggest factor, it's our biggest factor. And, the BS monitor kind of goes off inside me when people are just putting lip service to that. And I said, this is great. I'm excited about this. I'm so glad. It's even in his email signature. When I communicated his email, it's like, attitude is everything. Pick a good one. It was in his signature. I'm like, this is exciting. And he goes, he's telling me all about it. And I said, this is great. I said, I want to see a copy of your yearly evaluation. And he said, why do you want? Well, because there's got to be a whole section on attitude in your yearly evaluation. If you're talking about it so much and it's such a big part of your company and your success, I want to see this so I can show other people. And he kind of got quiet and he said, well, there's not really a section about attitude. We don't really have a section in that. I said, that's okay. I said, you got to have a whole page of attitude questions and metrics and, attitude per year and how many, all these metrics. I said, if you talk about it so much, there's got to be at least a page. He's like, no page in our evaluation about attitude. I said, okay, you've got to have 3 or 4 or 5 questions about it because it's so important. And you must at least talk to these people about it once a year. I'm guessing it's in the hiring process. It's in the review. It's got to be. And he just got really super quiet. And we got out a copy of his evaluation, and there's not one question, no reference, no nothing towards attitude. And it became painfully aware to him and to me that he was just putting mostly lip service. Now, he might be talking about it in meetings and working through it. And I'm sure he was, and it's in his email signature. But when the important documents came out and how they continue to keep people hired or get people to improve, there was not one question in there about attitude. So I would even suggest for the people listening, pull out your review. You know, if it's a one page, or even if you just do it informally and check and see if there are any edits, anything in there, any questions, any statements about attitude and about what we expect from our employees and from our team about attitude.
Matt, give me a for instance on questions. What kind of questions would we ask to ascertain that?
Sure. I would even say, and I'm a, you know, metrics and everything, and you guys can probably do this better than I can, but I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your attitude on a regular basis when you're working for our company? Is it a 7? Is it a 4? Is it a 3? And then I would ask another question, say, what's the attitude of, you know, the general attitude of the team about around you? About my boss? Is he a 5? Is he a 10? Is he a 2? How about your coworkers? What are they? How about the general feeling of the company? What do you think that is? That would be a great place to start, just to have people think, you know, give me a percentage grade on your attitude. How about my attitude? You know, and you have to create that culture where no one can be positive 100% of the time. It's not possible. We all have bad days. You guys talked about this already. It's okay to have a bad day. You just can't have 5 years in a row worth of bad days and work for our company.
Frequently during the course of these conversations, the guest will have questions that come into their mind that are much better than any question that I've asked. And so I always enjoy, as we kind of wrap up this episode, to give you guys a chance to ask questions of each other. This is your opportunity.
One thing I'm interested in how others do, and it's a very difficult thing, but to me, with things that are extremely important in what we do, things like biosecurity, animal well-being, health and safety that are imperative every single day, finding employees that have integrity is extremely important to me. But that is a very difficult thing to screen for in an interview process. Just wondering, you know, if others on this call, you know, find that same kind of, maybe put that as high on their list as I would for looking for a good employee, and things you might do to try to make sure you hire people that are trustworthy and that would have high integrity.
I would agree with you, Jamie. I think it's tough to screen for that on anything, because in an interview process, everybody's always on their best behavior. They're, you know, well-dressed and ready to answer the questions with all the answers that you want to hear. You know, a lot of good employees come from referrals from people that work on the farms, you know, and I think that's important, because if they're friends or associates with these people outside of work, then it's likely that they might share the same thoughts and ideals at work. Birds of a feather, so to speak. Does that always work? No, not always. But I think part of that is the establishment around the culture of the farm. You brought up biosecurity. You know, that's a tough thing sometimes to get people to get their head wrapped around. You know, it's a little bit like religion, right? You can't touch it, but you believe in it, and you know there's things out there at play. And so with biosecurity, we do a lot of things that we kind of go, I don't know if I see the value of that. And it's hard to get people. But if you can establish that culture, that expectation, to hold each other accountable to uphold biosecurity or maintain animal welfare or do those things, that's where you succeed in that, in my opinion. So it's really about establishing that as a culture on the farm.
The example of, you know, how do you screen and how do you hire for integrity or attitude? It's a great question. And as Jason said, you know, when people show up, they're on their best behavior. I work with two separate insurance companies near Dubuque, and they have two different philosophies, and it's for this reason. One of the companies is slow to hire, and they're really slow to fire. So there's this huge process that everybody has to go through and to even to get your foot in the door. And then once you get in the door, there's another 6 months or a year of training that the company invests all this money in a bunch. And then you've got all of this money invested in a person and all this time. And then they start to work. And then you can figure out pretty quickly. It's a gut feeling, isn't it? Attitude and integrity. You can't quite put your finger on it. You can't quite always measure it, but you know. But here's the problem with that company is they were so slow to hire now, and they've invested so much money. Now it's really hard to get rid of this person because they just can't. They're like, you have to take all these tests and all the DISC and all the personality tests and everything, and they're the right person for this job, and you just can't get rid of them. Another company that does the exact same in the exact same business, they're quick to hire and then they're quick to fire. And they tell people and they say, hey, you seem like a great person. You're hired, and we don't know exactly what you're going to do or how you're exactly going to fit into our organization, but we like you. And you can find out, they find out pretty quickly in a couple months, 2 or 3 months, if that person's going to show up. They're going to have a good attitude, if they're going to have integrity, you can find out, and then you can find a place for them. You guys are right. It's hard to screen for that. It's hard to do an interview for that because we're all on our best behavior. No one's ever come in and said, you know what, I'm late about a half an hour once or twice a week. But that shouldn't be a problem, should it? But you can find that out real quick when they start to work for you.
Joining us for this final episode in our motivational series on the squeal was Matt Booth, along with PIC's Jamie Hunley and Jason Pooley. You're welcome to share these podcasts widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.